With the laws?
Yeah, question. Is there any indication of what kind of relation, like if personal relation, that Phineas and Hophni had with Samuel?
I don't see any verses myself that show anything of the relationship that existed between them.
They were men. He was a child.
He was a child. They were men. He witnessed it, but he wasn't affected by it. Lars?
Yeah. In the young adult study yesterday, they're taking up worldliness this week and the idea of separating from that. So just a couple thoughts to follow up on what you were saying about separation. There is that verse in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It makes you wonder, and it turns out there are different versions of the word world, different Hebrew and Greek words that are translated world in English. In John 3:16, it's the place where humans live. And yes, clearly the God who created mankind would love that place. He created us. He loves us. But we're exhorted in, and this is what I wanted to bring out, in 1 John chapter 2, there are three verses I want to read, verses 15, 16, and 17, to give a little more detail on what it is in the world that we should be separating from. Because sometimes you hear this idea that, you know, we shouldn't love anything in the world. I like to eat. Does this mean I shouldn't enjoy eating anymore? That's not the thought here at all. It says in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and here's the list, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We know that God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth someday. God is a God who creates. So created things are not the things that we're supposed to be separated from. We can't. You know, we're human beings. But here it says the things that are in the world, this world system, that we should separate from. And we had this brought out this morning, too, the things that infest and infect our minds are the lust of the flesh, the things that come from within us, the temptations that we as fallen mankind have, and then the lust of the eyes, the things that come from outside of us and tempt us, and then the pride of life. And so these are the things that we should be separating from.
Did you have a comment?
Yeah. And then as Mr. How do you say your last name again? Said, what's the relationship between Hophni, Phineas, and Samuel? And then you go to chapter 8 and you see that Samuel does a better job, but he still does a pretty bad job in raising his two sons. It says, now it came to pass when Samuel was old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of the first was Joel, and the second Abijah, and they were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. Not as bad as what Hophni and Phineas did, but he still failed.
Well, I think you're going to see failure associated with man. As long as we're here, you're going to see failure. I will, and this is a long ways ahead for us. We don't want to go off in that direction. But I do think it's interesting that when I hear the Lord dealing with Samuel, I never found the Lord brought up the charges that Israel did. He didn't say that about Samuel. So I personally believe, and the Lord says to Samuel later, they rejected me, Samuel. They didn't reject you. They rejected me. And I believe that I have the confidence in God that if Samuel had done as bad a job as people had said he would, the Lord surely would have taken it up with him. But this is way off our path. Let's come back to where we were. I want to go back over to the brother that was speaking about the fact that Samuel, in verse 26, grew on and was in favor with the Lord and with men. Now, this is a very important connection that we're going to come to here, because God is going to use Samuel with the nation of Israel. But Samuel's not going to promote himself, young people. And someone who is used of the Lord today does not have to push himself forward or herself or be froward or say, look, you got to make room for me. No. If God has given a gift, he will be the enabler that that gift will be used for him. So if he is also growing in favor with the Lord and with men, I'm able to see the Lord's hand in bringing Samuel into this. Now, I want to link it with the next part, the man of God. We had just a while ago, separation. That's just part of it. What about when I see things and I don't do anything about it? It's called self-judgment. And if we don't judge ourselves, God will judge us. What a solemn thing. It isn't with Tony or Emil or your brethren you're dealing with. It is with the living God. And so here is Eli. He's witnessed what his sons are doing. He is party to it. He is party to it because he has done nothing about it. And so God brings a man on the scene. Now, we want to spend a little time on this. We don't know who he is. You know, we don't know what he looked like. We don't know where he came from. We don't know anything of his physical appearance. But we know one character about this man that covers everything else. He was a man of God. Do you know what he didn't do? He didn't apologize for the message. He didn't tone the message down. He didn't say, Eli, I'm sorry that I have to bring such a message to you. He had no right. He had no authority to do such a thing. The man of God is the man who is speaking on behalf of God to God's servant who he has sent him to. Let's just read a little bit about this. There came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord. It's a great question to ask myself today. What does that mean to me? Is a thus saith the Lord important in my life? Is it a guide for me in what I'm allowed to do? Not what my parents are allowing me to do, but myself. Do I look for the Lord's approval? How important. Thus saith the Lord. Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Someone brought before us, we are a privileged people. You have truth. You have been exposed to the scripture, which many young people have never been exposed to. Do you know? It makes us far, far more responsible. Now, this is what God says. Doesn't tell me that this was Eli's thoughts. Eli's thoughts don't count now. Do we realize that? It's no longer a time for Eli to say, God, I think this about this. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me. It doesn't say to make themselves fat. Read that carefully. It says to make yourselves fat with the chief of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Eli had to do with the living God. He had failed in his household, and the man of God is going and brings a stern message of judgment that was soon to come.